Hi, this is Ken McCarthy of the System Seminar, and we're taking part in one of our pre-system teleconferences, teleseminars with one of our faculty members, in this case, Greg Davis, who we'll be talking to in a minute. Since we began the System Seminar, and actually even several years before the system began, we've done lots and lots of free informational telephone calls with experts in internet marketing. And why do we do that? Well, we do it because this is a huge field and there's a lot to learn, and we found it's very helpful for beginners, intermediate, and even advanced people just to tune in and hear how somebody else is doing it. For those of you that are new to the System Seminar, we've been operating under that banner since 2002, but actually I've been teaching online marketing in a formal way since 1994, and we've got our System Seminar 2010 coming up April 9th through 11th in Chicago. And one of the things that we've always used in our teaching methods is a team approach to teaching. And since the very early days, it's not possible for any one person to know it all. You know, this is a big field, it's a complex field, and people who succeed typically have friends and colleagues and advisors who are experts in areas where they may not be quite as strong. So just to give a little preview for System 2010, we've got a really interesting lineup. On the one hand, we've got some super veteran copywriter and direct marketing experts. We've got Drayton Bird, who has been, you know, at a very high level in the direct marketing field for over 40 years. We have Robert Bly, also veteran, multi-decade veteran of copywriting and direct marketing. And I say this a lot, but we still encounter people that don't quite grasp this concept, and it's really important. Internet marketing is direct marketing. So if you don't know what direct marketing is, it will really pay you to listen to our series before System 2010, because we're going to have Drayton on several times. We're going to have Bob Bly on. We might even get both of them on the call at the same time. If you get direct marketing, you're going to find that a lot of the internet marketing suddenly makes a lot of sense. So on this call, we're going to be talking with the new generation of marketers, a representative of that generation, and that's Greg Davis. The internet is very new, really, in the scope of things. It hasn't really even been around as a business medium for very long. So anybody that's good at it is, by definition, relatively new. You don't find people with multi-decade careers because it just doesn't exist. Now, I've used the word career a couple of times already in this call, and we're going to talk a little bit about career, which may seem like a strange thing for internet marketers. Most of us are trying to get away from the whole concept of careers and all that. But, you know, the reality is even choosing to be an internet marketing entrepreneur is a career choice. And there are certain parameters to developing a career. I think one of them is realizing that you're in for the long haul. The other is to realize that it takes a while to find your direction. Sometimes all you can do is just stay alive until the next day, you know, to come up with the next way to improve your business. And then the third thing is getting the absolute best quality advice and guidance you can as you develop your career. And so we're going to talk with Greg not only about what's going on in internet marketing today, but also how he developed his career and how his career continues to unfold. And this may give, I hope it does, give some really good insight to people who are at the beginning of the process or maybe in the middle of it. It is very much like developing a career in any other field, whether it's, you know, medicine or law or nuclear physics. You know, you start at the beginning, you've got to make decisions, you've got to make investments of time and focus and energy. It's not a one-shot thing. It's not a weekend where suddenly you get it all and you're out there making a fortune. It's a developmental process. So we're going to talk about that. So, Greg, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of fun working with Greg. We first heard about Greg from Lloyd Irvin, who's a very accomplished, first of all, martial artist and athletic trainer, and then second, very accomplished business person, publisher, internet marketer, trainer of marketers, and he was so enthusiastic about what Greg was up to that we actually met with Greg in New York City, and then we went down to Maryland and spent a couple of days learning his work approach in detail. Blew us all away, very advanced stuff. We then went to England twice, actually, once to do a system seminar, and then second time to go up to Manchester and see Lloyd compete, and then we had a little seminar and mastermind up there. So we've in a very short period of time, we've done a lot of work with Greg. And we're going to get into what Greg does and some of the things that he's learned along the way. But just want to give everybody a sense of how he got into this and how things have unfolded for him and how he's moved his career and business and understanding of this whole Internet world forward. So, Greg, you started out in the sales field. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I started off in corporate sales. I was selling mostly high-tech products and services. I was in telecom, industrial automation, and the last job that I had, I was selling IT services and software development services to the D.C. government primarily.
Gotcha. And of course, sales, you know, is a great background for understanding Internet marketing because you learn how hard it is to make a sale if you're a salesperson. You know, you don't take it for granted. Now, you mentioned industrial automation. I'm going to guess that you might have encountered Perry Marshall then early in your career because he comes from that field, sort of.
I guess unfortunately it was a little later, you know, in my career. But I did. That was actually my first introduction to him because he had a whole pitch about not cold calling, which was something very near and dear to my heart because it was like probably one of my least favorite activities besides paperwork. So I definitely latched on to his marketing. I guess his approach was more, of marketing, as opposed to sales, marketing to properly position yourself, so that, really the sales process was a lot easier because people would be coming to you, as opposed to you chasing them down. So yeah, that's correct. Even before I knew anything about his, Internet marketing expertise. I got plugged into him, just from a sales perspective.
Yeah, this is actually already a really important concept that whether someone's just starting out or advanced is worth focusing on a bit, which is, the idea of, nothing. No one makes any money until a sales takes place. So, we can study all the marketing and be experts in every SEO trick and every conversion strategy. We could have a whole warehouse full of information on how to do things, but no one makes money until a sale takes place. And then the other thing, sort of the corollary of that is selling is hard, and especially when you mentioned the phrase cold calling, and for anybody that may not know what that means, cold calling is basically approaching a stranger and on the spot trying to engage their interest in what it is you're offering. And some people have the temperament for that, or if they don't have the temperament, they just do it anyway. But it is definitely the hard way to go. It's one thing, it's grueling, and it's not terribly efficient. So one of the things that Perry teaches, and I think everybody that has a good grasp of marketing teaches, is preparing the ground first. And it basically boils down to lead generation, doesn't it?
Yes, yep, exactly.
So you sort of dangle something out to the whole market, and you see who takes a step forward, and you talk to those people. And this may seem like a simple concept, but I bet we could go out there today and find a million people that don't know it or are getting it wrong. It's always best to do some preparation of the market before you actually start to sell. So you were selling tech services and learning the realities of selling, and then you got some insight from Perry that wow, maybe there's a better way than just calling people cold and maybe letting them come to me first to start the dialogue. When did you come across Internet marketing and what made you think that you had a chance to make it work?
As the Internet started to explode, like in the late 90s, I always knew, because I had been a student of, direct marketing for a while. When I was younger, I played around with a little bit of mail order and placing classified ads and stuff like that, and direct mail as well. And I never really had, a ton of success, but I was definitely believed, in the concept of basically, having a sales message that you can get out to a lot of people and just have, have a small percentage of them, raise their hand, let them know that you're interested, and then, go after the sale that way. So I always, knew that was a good model, and when the internet came along, it just seemed like it was a perfect vehicle, you know, for direct marketing because, you know, of the scope of it and how, you know, easy it was to, well, how seemingly easy it was to, you know, to reach a lot of people. And I've always, you know, I guess probably coming from my sales background and the fact that, you know, I've done a lot of, you know, cold calling, a lot of, you know, when I was young in college, I did like door-to-door stuff, so vacuum cleaners and knives and all kinds of stuff. And I was actually, you know, pretty good at it. So, you know, after some of those experiences, I've always felt that if I can do this, you know, that I can do anything. And I've always kind of looked at the world like, okay, if this person can do it, then, you know, then I can do it. So, you know, I knew that there was an opportunity there. I knew that people, you know, were making money on it. So, you know, I jumped in, you know, on a part-time basis back in 2000.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And you know, this is just sort of, you know, sort of reality 101 is you know, we all, and me included, I hardly can think of anybody that just jumped in and made it full-time right away. You'll usually, if you're a beginner and you're just getting started, or even if you're intermediate, you know, there's that transitional period where you're working your regular job and making sure all your bills are paid, and then in your extra hours, and, you know, you might, it's kind of the equivalent of working two jobs for a while. You're testing and experimenting and trying to figure out how the internet works, and you know, it'd be nice to bypass that. It'd be nice to instantly get it and suddenly replace your income in a few days or weeks. But I don't know, that didn't happen for me. I don't know, did it happen for you? Did you?
No, not quite. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it was interesting, the, you know, the terminology used at the beginning of the call, you know, a career. You know, and I definitely think of it as a career. But I never really drew the parallel as far as, you know, from, like, say, a corporate career to an internet marketing career. But, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, like, you start your career, you know, I mean, like, people look at me a lot of times and they see, you know, wow, I make a lot of money online and, you know, I want to make, you know, these huge numbers, you know, five figures a day and stuff like that. And it's kind of like when you start your job, you know, you don't start and you immediately make as much as the CEO, you know, or you know, or the executives. I mean, you start off, you know, some type of entry-level point, and you, like you said, you kind of have to, you know, work your way up there and develop your career. So it's pretty much the same thing, you know, with the internet marketing, you know, career as well. I mean, I don't know anybody just jumped in and, you know, was able to make it big right away. I mean, there's always, you know, dues to pay. I mean, no matter, you know, who you are, and even no matter, you know, I mean, if you have you know, proper group of people around you to help you, it can definitely shorten, you know, your journey. But, you know, everybody has to pay their dues at some point in time.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, that may be obvious, but there's so much information out, so-called information out there that runs counter to that, you know, giving people the impression that, oh, you know, this is just so easy, and there's one or two secret tricks that you need to learn, and once you know that, you're home free. You know, we're always learning more and more stuff. I mean, I was happy, you know, to get on a plane and go down to Maryland to visit with you and spend 2 days and taking notes all day long, just to get a few you know, new ideas, things that I hadn't thought of before or hadn't been exposed to before. Let's fast forward then to the present. What's your primary focus in internet marketing these days?
Yeah, my primary focus is CPA industry, which stands for cost per action. I'm not talking about the accountants. It stands for cost per action. You know, and again, basically, it kind of you know, boils down to the root of, you know, of what direct marketing is, and that's, you know, ultimately, I mean, ultimately the goal is to get a sale, you know. And so with cost per action, you can actually get paid for, you know, for small actions that actually lead to the sale. So, for example, I guess a good example would be like an auto insurance quote. You know, you can actually promote an auto insurance offer, and, you know, the person completes the first page of maybe, like, you know, five or six different fields, put their name and address and what they're making their car or whatever, and then that's it. And then you get paid for that, as opposed to having to wait to, you know, see if they actually bought the insurance. So, you know, with CPA, it's a lot of lead generation. It's just a lot easier to get, you know, what we call a conversion, as opposed to traditional affiliate marketing where it all depends on a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and then you get a percentage of the sale. And the other good thing about it too is that, you know, in the cases where there is a sale or money has to exchange hands, typically you make more, you know, than that transaction amount, simply because, you know, the advertiser that you're promoting for, they've done their homework and they know, you know, how much a lead is worth to them. So the transaction might only be like $5, you know, but you might get paid, you know, $35 for it, you know. So
because they know that the value of a lead, they know exactly what the value of a lead is, and they're willing to pay the full value of it. And this is sort of maybe even sort of counterintuitive for a lot of people. So if we just sort of like take a step back, you know, at the beginning of the call I said no one makes money until a sale takes place. You know, it's just nothing happens until something happens. You know, and on the internet you have a variety of things that you can focus on selling. You know, on one level, some people just focus on selling impressions, banner impressions, and those tend to be. And we should do a reality check here. If you're going to sell banner impressions, you better have a way to generate just massive, you know, container ship loads of internet traffic. And if you have such a method, selling impressions might be the best way to go. Then the next level up would be selling, I guess, clicks. And everybody's heard of AdSense by this point, I'm sure. And that's where you get, if you drive someone to your page and they click on a link, you get paid. Next level of complexity, I guess, would be CPA, where not only is somebody clicking on something, but they're taking the time to fill out information that would be useful to an advertiser. And this is a world that a lot of people don't even realize exists. And it existed before the internet. There have always been industries, like insurance is a good example, that were willing to pay cash money for lead information. Mortgage brokers have always done that as well. So that's the area that Greg specializes in, is basically generating and then selling leads to advertisers. So these are advertisers, Greg mentioned, that really know what they're doing. They know their conversions down to the penny. They know what a good lead is worth, and they tend to be very aggressive, and they tend to be willing to pay pretty good money for the leads that they get, because they know what a lead is worth. And then the next level up would be being an affiliate, as Greg mentions, where you only get paid if a sale occurs. There's a tremendous amount of focus and emphasis in the internet marketing education world on being an affiliate. It might work for you, it might not, but we just want to make sure you realize that there are a lot of other ways to play the game. And, of course, the next level up is to have your own products or your own service and sell those directly, which is actually the most rewarding ultimately, but it's definitely the most complex and demanding. So my advice is always to start, you know, lower down the complexity chain, you know, selling clicks, definitely looking into CPA, looking into affiliate things. Not necessarily that's where you're going to end up. You may be like Greg and say, hey, you know, I really get the CPA, selling leads, slice of the business. I get it. I'm good at it. I'm going to stick with it. But doing that, you know, selling clicks, selling leads, being an affiliate, just to get your feet wet, you know, and get a sense of how internet marketing works mechanically. Because, and this is what we're going to get into this call in a bit, is a lot of this business boils down to mechanics and knowing your mechanics really, really well. And to generate, by the way, I've used this analogy before. You know, when someone's generating the kind of numbers that Greg is generating, it's because he's got a really good sense of all the mechanics, and he's able to operate a lot of stuff simultaneously. I've been saying that, you know, Greg is kind of like a guy that plays 12 simultaneous chess games, you know, while somebody is shooting at him. You know, it's like you got to get to the, you know, no one gives that kind of income away for free. You've got to have great knowledge and really great execution, and typically, you know, very sophisticated execution. So just to recap, there's a lot of ways to generate income on the internet, and some of them are easier to get into than others. So Let's talk a little bit about how you made your breakthroughs. Like, what were some of the original insights that you had that you know really helped you make big jumps from, you know, sort of floundering around, as we all do, and usually for a lot longer than we want to flounder around, to the point where you're going, I get this. Okay, I see how this works.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, my first major breakthrough came in 2006, end of 2006. And up to that, and that, keep in mind, you know, I've been doing pay-per-click marketing my entire internet career, because when I first started in 2000, there was a search engine called GoTo, which was the first pay-per-click search engine, and then that later changed to Overture and became Yahoo Search Marketing. So I was, you know, pretty familiar with, you know, with pay-per-click, but, you know, it changes. I mean, like, everything on the internet, you know, changes, and so there was, you know, obviously a lot of changes, you know, in that six-year period, I took like a year off because I was just so frustrated with internet marketing, and I wasn't making enough money to support myself or anything like that. So I kind of took a year off so I got back into it 2006. And you know, and the you know, the whole game had changed. So I just to give you, like, you know, the real example of what I was doing. At the time, I was marketing these services, like download services that you could download music and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. And you know, my approach to it was, I was looking at the high traffic keywords such as like download music, you know, music downloads, you know, stuff that was like pretty generic type of keywords. And you know, year or two previously, that type of thinking had worked for me, but this time, you know, it didn't. I was having trouble. You know, I think I was losing about $100 a day with this method, and so the affiliate network that I was one of the ones that I was dealing with, you know, the guy told me, he was like, well, you know, how many sales do you want to make a day? And I was like, well, you know, at least 100, because we made $25 per sale, so you know, that put me where I needed to be income wise. And he was like, well, I'll show you how to make 200 or, you know, 250. And I was like, you know, okay, I'm all ears. And so I let him get into my, you know, AdWords account. And he just made a couple of changes, and it just instantly kind of like, you know, I kind of got it. And what he did was, instead of using keywords, like, you know, more general keywords that describe what the service actually did, he went after like more product specific keywords, like the names of the software, like, which at that time was stuff like, you know, Morpheus and Kazaa and iTunes, Napster, you know, because I think the key. One of the keys with pay-per-click is you really got to get into the mind of the person searching. So, you know, if somebody's just typing to download music, then, you know, they could just be fishing for information about it. You know, they could just be seeing what's going on with it. Whereas if somebody's typing in a specific name of a piece of software, you know, they're pretty, you know, intent on, you know, finding it and downloading it. So that was, you know, kind of like the first breakthrough, you know, that I had. And that allowed me to... Just that allowed me to take that, you know, negative $100 a day business, and over the course of like, two or three months, I was doing over $100,000 a month, you know, with the same exact, you know, products.
Now, to give everybody perspective, a couple of things. Number one, the reason you were losing $100 a month is that you were buying your traffic, right? You weren't, you know, trying to using one of these free traffic schemes that seem to appear every 3 months. Free traffic, you know, no effort, no nothing required. Just give us a bunch of money and we'll show you how to do it. And you actually were out there just straight buying traffic and then tracking your results. So you were set up to do that. And your results, you know, obviously were good. But here's the key, and this is so important. Because Greg was in the mindset of buying traffic, you know, not fooling around, not wasting time, not chasing pipe dreams, but actually buying traffic, and because he was tracking the results of those purchases, he had the raw materials he needed so that when he got a good strategy, he'd be able to apply it. I think, Greg, if you were somebody that had been chasing free traffic schemes and didn't bother to track your results and what wasn't even set up to track your results, that same guy could have given you that great advice, and it might not have worked.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, Greg didn't know anything and this guy waved a magic wand and suddenly, you know, Greg's, you know, succeeding. Greg had built, again, it goes back to mechanics. He sorted out all those mechanical foundations so that when he was given good advice and tested it and was willing to put money into it, he could see that it was working. Because you mentioned it was a multi-month process to get from losing $100 a day to the numbers that you were generating later. And it didn't happen in a day or a week or a month. It was a process of taking that idea that you got and testing it and ramping it up bit by bit, which you were able to do because you had your tracking in place.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, I'll just say this. I mean, this is one of the keys, I mean, I think, you know, with anything. And just, you know, really, I mean, at least as far as affiliate marketing, I mean, there's two main people that you really want to work with a lot, and that is, like, your actual affiliate managers, you know, with the affiliate network that you're dealing with, and also the account managers of where you're buying your traffic from. Because both of those people, like, they have a bigger, you know, scope of vision than you, so they can see, like, affiliate managers, you know, can see what's happening and working across the whole network and what's not working, you know, so they can give you guidance that way. And same thing, you know, with the account managers. I mean, they see who's spending the money. Like, they'll tell me, okay, well, these guys are spending a lot of money on such and such, or you might want to try this, you know. So throughout that process, you know, I was working with my affiliate manager. We were trying different pages. You know, they actually made pages for me, you know, which is something, you know, once you start doing, you know, just, you know, a little bit of volume, you show them that, you know, you're serious and that, you know, you're going to make money, then, you know, then they'll bend over backwards because they make more money when you make more money. So, you know, so it wasn't just me, you know, I was working with them too. And especially, you know, getting new pages done and getting better converting. I mean, they were always split testing and, you know, working on stuff on their end, just like I was always split testing and, you know, working on stuff, you know, on my end as well. And I will say too, before anybody tries, like, do not run out and try to put up any campaigns about downloading music, because all three search engines will ban you for that. And, you know, there's laws against that stuff right now. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't want anybody to run out and, you know, try to attempt that now. This was you know, 4 years ago.
Right. And, you know, and you know, markets are always evolving, and things that work 1 year may not work the next year. You know, what Greg was saying about, I guess, for lack of a better word, proving himself to the affiliate manager and the account managers, this goes back to that theme of career development. You know, he did his homework, figured out, okay, what's essential here? Okay, I've got to buy traffic. I'm not going to wish that it's going to come out of the sky. I'm actually going to buy it. I'm going to track what's going on, and I'm going to stick with it. And so he did his part. So the affiliate managers and the account managers, whose offers that he was working on, would look at him and say, "Well, this is a guy he's in the game. He's working. He's doing it. You know, he's not a dreamer. We can work with him. It's worth investing our time in sharing ideas with him." I want to take a step back a little bit for people. You know, we talked about the various ways to make revenue on the internet: selling impressions, selling clicks, selling leads, commission sales, which is also known as affiliate marketing, and then selling your own product. Within the realm of selling leads, CPA, or commission sales, affiliate marketing, there's this vast industry of affiliate managers and account reps for CPA offers. And maybe we should take a little time to really talk about that, because I have to admit, I was kind of aware that it existed, because it actually is almost as old as internet marketing itself. I mean, you know, selling leads, you know, is one of the very first things that people did on the internet. But I hadn't realized until I went down to the affiliate summit where we first met, how huge the lead generation industry has become. We were at, I guess, the Hilton Hotel on Avenue of the Americas, and they had three floors of exhibitor booths. In fact, there were so many floors, I missed one. I thought it was only two floors. And then when I got home, I don't know if it was you or Ben Moskal, said, "Did you see the so-and-so on?" I said, "What? I didn't even see it." And then I discovered there was this other floor that I didn't even know was. So this industry has become vast. So let's give people a sense of how it's structured. So maybe let's start with the CPA world. How is it structured? What are the basic mechanics of how things are put together? You've got your advertiser, of course, the guy that wants more traffic, right? Just like, you know, just like an individual wants more traffic, a multi-million or multi-billion dollar corporation wants more traffic, and they've got the very same problem. It's like, how do you wring the right traffic out of the internet? So you got your advertiser, and then who else is part of this game?
Yeah, it's basically it's two other main entities, which are the CPA network and then the affiliate. And in the CPA world, the affiliate is called a publisher. And the reason why is because originally the main affiliates were people that had websites, and so they would put banners on the websites to drive traffic to the offers. And so since they published websites, you know, they're known as publishers. Not as true these days, since most of the affiliates are driving traffic other ways, mostly buying it. But those are the two other entities, and basically, the way it works is you have an advertiser. You know, this is the person that has a product. So, say for example, it's a weight loss product. They have some brand new, weight loss product that makes you lose, weight fast and healthy or whatever. But they need customers. Okay, so, they got a couple of choices. They can hire their own, advertising department and people that can actually, do this for them. Or they can say, okay, well, look, I just want to buy some customers. I basically I know that a new customer is worth such and such to me, so I'm willing to go buy them. So they go to a CPA network, and basically, they put their offer, they either already have an offer together, or they can work with the network to put the offer together to generate leads and customers for their offer. And so then the CPA network, they have a pool of affiliates or publishers, and so they basically link the publishers that are driving the traffic to the offer to produce the leads for the advertisers. So the CPA network is kind of in the middle. They're kind of like the clearinghouse today. They do serve a really good big purpose because me as an affiliate, I need offers to promote. I need offers to drive traffic too. And instead of me going to individual advertisers, I can just go to one place, where they have hundreds of offers. And then the same thing with the advertiser. They have the product, but, instead of them going to individual, affiliates or people to drive, sites to drive traffic to them, they can go to one place, and okay. They can pay, so.
Okay, so if you're the internet marketer in this equation, you're not dealing with the advertiser, really. You're dealing with that affiliate network.
Exactly, yeah. And when it gets down to it, I mean, it kind of gets convoluted because normally, actually, most networks don't deal directly with the advertiser either. They're dealing with, other networks, and it's there's very few, networks that have, a lot of direct relationships with the advertiser. So it's kind of like a lot – it's like a couple of hops in the, in the chain, a couple of – sometimes. I mean, sometimes you do as a network, you deal direct with the advertiser, but more often than not, you're going through, another kind of, aggregator network or something like that.
Gotcha. So you have your advertiser, and then you have, a bunch of affiliate networks that have maybe one sort of super affiliate network, for lack of a better word. They've got the original deal then with the advertiser, and then they broker that deal off to all the other affiliate networks?
Exactly. Yep. You're pretty
gotcha.
Much that's how it works.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because that sounds like a very lucrative place to be would be the company that can make those original deals with the advertisers.
Yeah, it's mostly a question of scale. I mean, because most of those networks that deal direct with the advertiser, they're pretty small and they're not really equipped to deal with hundreds and thousands of affiliates. So that's why they in turn broker it out to other networks. But a lot of people have their specialty. So there's networks that specialize, in certain types of offers. There's some networks that only deal with, education offers, some that only deal with business opportunity offers. So a lot of times they're the ones, some of these more specialty ones might, they're, sometimes, they're the ones that have the exclusive relationships or the direct relationships. But ultimately, it's a lot of times, the offer, is passed down and brokered, a few times, and everybody saves a little bit of, profit off of it as it goes through.
Okay, so basically, if you're an internet marketer and you're looking at CPA marketing, what you're really looking to do is to develop relationships with affiliate networks. And then now, and then the thing that you alluded to earlier in the call is that these affiliate networks are often staffed with some very savvy people, and they have very specific knowledge. You mentioned they know what offers are working very well today, which is very important because offers burn out. There's very rarely in any industry an offer that works for years and years and years. That's the exception. It's not the rule. Usually things are kind of a bit faddish. You know, they're really popular for a while and then they kind of burn out and then a new thing that's popular, you know, comes up. It's sort of like the fashion industry or the film industry. You know, a film comes out and everybody's seeing it, everybody's talking about it, it's making millions of dollars, and then, you know, 3 years later it's in one of those video shops in the cutout bin for, you know, $3.95. You know, it's like, what happened? Well, it's a fashion trend related business, and I think if I understand the CPA world, it runs along similar principles. You know, and I like fashion for women's clothing. It's, you know, women wear a certain kind of clothes one season, and the next season you can't wear those clothes anymore. You have to go out and buy a whole new set of clothing. You know, it's just the way the business works. So these affiliate network managers, they see that. They're in it every day. They're talking with people who are buying traffic. They're seeing people's conversions. They see what works. They know what offers are hot. So anybody that aspires to look into the CPA world, your real thing is to get in with a good affiliate, network.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's huge, and it's really, you know, really key to, you know, to have a good relationship with your affiliate manager. And if for whatever reason, you know, I mean, I haven't had this problem too much, but, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, they're not helping you or, you know, not as knowledgeable as you think, then, I mean, there's ways to, you know, to try to get a new one. But, yeah, I mean, it's the key. It's the key. I mean, because they have, you know, so much knowledge, you know, again, that you would never have. And, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, like I tell people, I mean, you know, it behooves you to, you know, to really strongly consider the advice of somebody that, you know, whose success is contingent upon your success, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they're not, you know, for the most part, you know, they're not going to, you know, tell you, you know, stuff or to promote something that, you know, that is not, you know, making a lot of money for other people. I mean, you got to take everything with a grain of salt because, you know, occasionally, you know, they do have their own agenda and they want to push certain offers. But in my experience, for the most part, I mean, if they, you know, if my affiliate manager has recommended a certain offer, you know, and I've tried it, you know, more times than not, you know, it has worked out pretty well.
Because their success is really literally tied to your success. So in most of the cases, they're going to give you things that are going to work for you. But, yeah, there is always that case. It's a lot like the brokerage, the stock brokerage business. Sometimes a brokerage house may have some stock that's really a dog that they have to just unload as a favor to somebody. You know, and everybody's out there, you know, temporarily saying, "Oh, this is the great stock; everybody should be on it." Something like that could possibly happen in CPA marketing too. You know, everybody talks about the money involved in, you know, that changes hands in CPA marketing. Of course, that gets everybody's attention, and that's very glamorous. But let's talk about some of the reality of actually running a business like this. What kind of you know, temperament, skills, aptitudes, does someone need to make this kind of business work? Because I'm really a big believer that, you know, something may look good on paper and somebody else may be able to make it work fantastically, but everybody's different. Everybody has their own set of interests and aptitudes and focuses and skills. And, you know, just because somebody is making a lot of money in something doesn't mean that that's the thing for you to do. So I think it might be helpful if we can talk about you know, what an affiliate marketer has to be good at. And when, you know what I believe too is if to be good at something you have to like it, you know, because there's always up and down, there's always long periods where things don't work, and you sort of have to keep going on and on even when it may not look promising. So you better like the basic mechanics of what you're doing. So with that as an introduction, what kind of aptitude, orientation, outlook does somebody need, do you think, to do well as a CPA marketer as opposed to all the other things somebody could do on the Internet? Right now we're just focused on CPA because that's what Greg does.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first, you know, attribute that you need to have is patience, because, you know, again, like you know, you hear about these big campaigns and people making $40,000, $50,000 a day and stuff like that. I mean, one thing you got to realize is A, that doesn't happen every day, and B, that it took a long time for that person to develop that campaign to scale it to that level. I mean, many months, a lot of times. You know, so I think the main thing is patience. I mean, it's not gonna happen overnight. And the other thing too is I agree. I mean, you really, you know, do have to have a love for it because it's very you know, it can be very frustrating at times. You know, but like me personally, like I actually really, you know, get a kick out of testing stuff. I mean, like I set up okay a split test here, and I'm gonna let it run for an hour. You know, and let me see what it. I get a thrill out of that. You know, just to pick up a piece of data. I mean, because the bottom line is that success in this business deals with, you know, with data, and data is something that you have to buy. You know, you buy it in the forms of traffic that you're testing stuff with, and in the beginning, you know, you're gonna, you know, you're not gonna make money. I mean, we don't call it losing money. We call it buying data. And sometimes you got to buy more data, you know, than other times. So I think, you know, patience is definitely key. You definitely have to have, I mean, in order to do it at the level that I'm doing it, you got to have some money from somewhere. Either, you know, you have like a lot of credit, or you have, you know, you have money yourself, you know, or, you know, what I used to do was, you know, just take on, you know, partners and investors that, you know, had money.
And the reason for that is just, again, it's a mechanical issue. You're buying traffic. So after you've done your sort of due diligence and you found a good offer and you found a great way to offer or promote it and your conversions are great, you still have to, quote, write the check to buy the traffic. And that check may be a lot more than you happen to have in your bank account or is prudent to risk, you know, in one throw. So, you know, you'll see a lot of courses that, you know, CPA riches, you know, CPA. Well, it's all true, but there is, to get to that level, you run into a financing issue because the traffic has to be paid for. Correct?
Yeah, definitely. And especially, too, you know, when it's taken a few months to get off the ground, you know, I mean, it's tough because, you know, even with, you know, you have people, investors and stuff, I mean, you know, they want to see, you know, returns as quickly as possible. So you really have to, you know, if you do something like that, you really have to set the proper expectations. Like, look, you know, this is a, you know, it's a long-term process. I mean, you know, it definitely will pay off. I mean, every time that I've, you know, embarked on, like, you know, major campaign and especially bringing in other people, I mean, it has worked and, you know, everybody's made, you know, money, you know, as long as they've, you know, stick with it. But the other thing, too, is that you have to really, I mean, I tell people that one of the main tools that they have to master. You know, people always talk about tools and different nifty things to buy. I mean, one of the main things that you need to know how to use is Microsoft Excel or some type of spreadsheet program because you really got to keep careful track of what's going on and you got to keep meticulous, you know, records and reports of what happens because, I mean, it's just crucial to, like, again, it's all about data. And so, you know, so you need that, you know, that data. And a lot of times the tools aren't out there to, you know, to automate it. I mean, I remember I was doing a little coaching class with some people, and I was going through one of my spreadsheets, and you know, I had to count stuff, literally account sales and stuff by hand. And they were like, "Oh, it's like there's got to be an easier way to do this, some kind of automated way." And I was just like, "You know what? This is what separates the people that make a lot of money from people that don't, because the people that make the big money are willing to do this, and the people that don't make the money are not willing to do it." So you know, it's a lot of, you know, because there's a lot of testing involved, and you have to, you know, you have to track everything. And, you know, there are a lot of tools out there that can automate, you know, certain processes, but, you know, not everything. You know, some stuff literally has to be done by hand. I mean, so, you know, you have to be willing, you know, to basic, you know, like I said, pay your dues and put in some, you know, some long hours of, you know, frustrating time, you know, in order to make it big, because I don't know of anybody that has developed, you know, any, you know, like the 10-figure per day campaigns, you know, in a matter of a couple of days or even a matter of a couple of weeks. I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, maybe somebody that gets lucky. But in my experience, you know, some of those major campaigns that you can really scale, you know, it does take a little while to develop.
Gotcha. So just to be realistic for everybody, you know, yes, CPA can have a glamorous payday, and of course that's what attracts everybody to it. But it sounds like, look, you gotta be a guy that loves data. And by love, I mean you're in it every day. You're looking at the data every day. And you know, I have to tell you right now, I would not be that personally. Ken McCarthy would not be that guy. I know what I'm good at, and I'm just not oriented that way. So I would say, you know, be realistic. If you're a person that just, you know, loves looking at stats and messing with numbers and you know, you can lose yourself. I think the key is, do you naturally lose yourself in the activity? You know, and I bet Greg that there are hours that go by where you're churning through data and you just get fascinated looking at things and you know, testing different things. And I bet that's just
It's kind of funny. I just thought of this. I was at the sister seminar a couple years ago, and you were saying how you're talking about like the different phases of being an entrepreneur. You were like, the one phase is like you're into it and you're forgetting to bathe, you're forgetting to eat, stuff like that.
Right.
And like that's how it gets sometimes. Like I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, I got the same clothes yesterday. I'm like, my wife's like, go take a shower.
Exactly. And you know, I in any field, whatever it is, whether it's in the internet or out of the internet, whether it's CPA marketing or selling your own products, whatever it is, you're gonna go through that period where you're just into it because you're loving it and it's fascinating and it's interesting. And I don't know anybody that makes success anywhere without that, paying those kind of dues. So if you naturally don't try to make yourself love data. I mean, everybody pretty much knows right now whether they like, you know, crunching numbers or not. And if you actually like that kind of thing, then I'd say CPA marketing is something for you to consider, right? And then the second thing that came up, I think, over and over again in this is diligence. It's not a matter of, hey, you think it's a great idea and, you know, one weekend you're going to work on it. I think the point Greg's made over and over again is it's kind of a relentless thing. You come back every day, you know, every day, working on it. And then the third thing is, this is important because it's reality, is this is not a risk-free business. You are putting up cash. And, you know, you can, yes, sure, theoretically you can get investors, but, of course, the only way you're going to get investors is if you're really diligent and really responsible. So it's a good business for the right kind of person. It's a tough business. You got to use your intellect. You got to use your heart. You know, you got to be a consistent kind of a person. These are all things that are a part of the reality of the business. So let's step back a little bit now. Whether you aspire to be a CPA marketer or not, you can learn a lot from Greg, and the reason for that is this. Every internet marketing business is really a lead generation business because it's, you know, what is a lead? A lead is getting information about somebody who looks like they might be a good candidate for your product. It's very, very rare that you send somebody to your page and they buy something right away. And the more expensive your product gets or the more complicated it is, the less likely that is to happen. So no matter what you're doing on the internet, it's going to have a very strong lead generation component. So, you know, even if you say, well, you know, I see what CPA is about and I've heard all the glamorous part, now I see the reality part, maybe it's not for me. Well, whether it is for you or not, understanding the lead generation process is kind of where the money is, no matter what you're doing on the internet. So, Greg, you've learned, obviously, a ton about lead generation on the internet. And what are some of the things that you could share with people about how to approach, for instance, improving conversion? Actually another thing, too, that we should also make sure we talk about on this call is alternate traffic. Everybody talks about Google AdWords, but there are a lot of other paid traffic sources that are as good or sometimes even better. So let's first talk about things that any business owner, regardless of what business they're in, could apply that you've learned from lead generation. Either you've learned from your own experience or you just learned it from talking with other people.
No, yeah, I mean, part of my experience, you know, I get to look at a lot of offers and a lot of, you know, lead generation landing pages, and so there's definitely, you know, some stuff that I've picked up. I mean, one of the main things, honestly, you know, kind of should be obvious, but one of the main things is that you need to have everything relevant for the person to make a decision to opt in above the fold, including the actual opt-in form, because people are not going to scroll down. I mean, the majority of people will not scroll down if they go to your page, and you know, unless you give them a really compelling reason to. So if you want to, you know, get the maximum number of leads, you got to have, and not to say you can't have anything below the fold, but you got to have everything that a person needs, you know, as far as relevant information, it needs to be above the fold.
Got it. So it's you know, for above the fold is an old newspaper term, but applied to the internet, it means whatever they see on the screen without scrolling down, that's where you better make it happen there, whatever it is you're trying to do, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it also seems to be, seems that the opt-in form being on the right side of the page works better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so a lot of times you have, you know, whatever copy or graphic or even like a video, you know, on the left side, and then to the right of that normally, you know, as upper right as you can, you know, on the right side above the fold is, it seems to be the best place for your lead capture form.
Okay.
That's another one. You know, and just different things like, you know, using arrows, you know, using big buttons, you know, instant access, you know, stuff like that. Even like countdown clocks, even though a lot of some places are kind of cracking down on the countdown clocks because they feel it's pressuring people and they're not having enough chance to actually read the terms and conditions. But, I mean, if you just have some kind of regular squeeze page or something, that's probably, you know, not an issue for you. So, you know, just like little devices like that, you know, that can, you know, help improve conversions. And also, one thing I do see a lot of internet marketers use, but not everybody, is some type of exit script. So either, like, you can have, like, the exit pop that pops up with, like, the operator saying, you know, wait, we're going to offer you a discount, you know, something like that, something that, like, recaptures some of the, you know, the exiting traffic, because you can definitely pick up, you know, a lot of more conversions that way and increase your, you know, your conversion rate a little bit that way.
And you were saying, too, that you need to give the visitor enough information and create somehow, whether it's by a clock or some other means, a sense of urgency that this is something that is worth doing right now.
Yep.
There's reasons to do it today, like this moment. And by the way, all this advice that Greg's sharing, this is based on how many page views? I mean, certainly millions, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. This stuff, I mean, I see these themes like over and over again. You know, and offers that work. You know, when you and this stuff is just this stuff. I mean, just from the advertiser standpoint, this stuff gets tested incessantly. You know, so these are like, you know, common themes that I pick up on. You know, people ask my advice on landing pages a lot too now, and I, you know, pretty much, you know, tell them. And you know, it's always definitely you know, important to have you know, graphics. I mean, video works well. You know, but even the absence of video, just have, you know, really good graphics. You know, obviously women's faces and women seem to do better, but it all depends on, you know, the type of offer. But mostly I see pictures of women on offer pages. I'm trying to think what else. And then, you know, it's the colors too. I mean, you gotta, you know, experiment with different colors. You know, I used to just think that blue, you know, was the buy-all, end-all, you know, the best converting color. But I've seen some good pages that are other colors as well, like red and stuff like that. You know,
yeah,
that,
when you say red, like red headlines or red text or red blinks or
more like a red background.
Okay.
More like
okay.
Yeah.
Well, this brings up two important issues. We're going to ask in a second what kinds of things that you test. So in other words, we talk about A/B split testing one ad against another. Okay, well, how do you create a test? Let's look right at that. Is how do you decide what to test against?
I mean, if I'm doing like a pay per click campaign, you know, I'm just starting off. I mean, I'll definitely always look around at the ads that are currently there. I mean, I, you know, see what, you know, not to copy them. verbatim, but just kind of see like what types of ads are there. So that'll kind of give you a starting point.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you know what would actually be, I think, very helpful? I bet everybody on this call sees super successful lead generation ads every day and may not even recognize them. And they may see these ads and think, oh, what an annoying ad. I see that ad all the time. Or, gee, that ad looks so primitive. why is it laid out by a Hollywood designer? When in reality, these sometimes, homely looking ads are actually pulling the most weight. So where can people see lead generation ads that are probably, you never know until you see the numbers, but are probably pulling very well? What are some signs? First of all, where can you find them, and what are some signs that one particular approach is working well?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main places, like I know for myself, like I use Yahoo email, and whenever you log in, and first of all, Yahoo has ads on their on their front page, so that's a place to look. But even like in your email, they serve ads all the time when you're in your email. So I definitely look at Yahoo. I look at if you want to look at some pages, you can check out FoxNews.com, MSNBC.com, the Weather Channel. I've seen Weather.com.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of text ads there, but you'll see a lot of banners and stuff too. But definitely Yahoo has quite a few. But you're right. I mean, probably a lot of ads that people see all day, are these lead generation or CPA type of ads, and people just kind of maybe like all these Obama urges moms to go back to school and stuff like that.
Right.
There's
a crazy one running now with a guy with a big unruly beard.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I saw it, I thought, my God, this is the most repulsive image I've ever seen in an ad in my life, practically. And yet, you know what? I see it running over and over, and that tells us what?
That is working.
Yeah. It, crazy as it may be, these ads at that level on Fox, on the other networks you mentioned, Weather Channel, if they're running over and over again, somebody is tracking those numbers. Somebody like Greg is sitting there with a spreadsheet making sure that those ad buys are paying off. So if you want to look at the real world of what really works in lead generation, that's sort of like an ongoing free seminar that you can dip into any time. So that's kind of where you start. You kind of get a feeling for, okay, what offers are good, obviously. You don't want to offer something that's not good, that's not working. So you figure out, okay, what's in fashion right now? And then you see what other people are doing by way of advertising, and that gives you some ideas for creating your own ad. So then you create one. And then what kinds of things do you test against? Do you test headlines? Do you test... What is it that you're doing your A/B split tests on?
Yeah. The first thing that I test is headlines. I mean, I keep the body copy the same, and then I'll try to zero in, on the most effective headline. I'll do that. But actually, what I really do is I'll write, let's say three different, totally different ads. So all different kinds of ad copy, and then I'll test out headlines. I mean, that's definitely the main place to focus most of your attention, because that's gonna do the most to affect your click through rate, at least getting people's attention. So test headlines. Kind of once I get a couple headlines that really work, then I'll focus on the body copy. But what I'm trying to do is, because typically the way it pans out is that a lot of times my highest click through rate ads, normally they do not have the best conversion rate. And normally my best conversion rate ads don't have a high click-through rate. So you kind of got to marry the two, because what we're going for is the main number I'm looking at is ECPM, which is basically your earnings per 1,000 impressions. So I'm trying to get, basically the ad that I make the most money when they show. And normally, it's kind of a marriage between the highest click-through rate and the highest conversion rate. So what I'm trying to identify is what aspects of the ad, which headline mostly has the highest the click-through rate. And then I'll look at which ad has the highest conversion rate, and then, like I said, try to find a happy medium. there. But I'll tell you this, this happens like all the time. This like really blows my mind. And it just happened to me the other day. I had these two, this was on Yahoo. I had two identical ads. The only thing different was that the one ad had, for the display URL, had www. Dot in front of it, and the other one didn't. And the one that had the www. Dot in front of it converted twice as well as the one without the www. And that's only,
really?
That was the only difference. Yeah, so I always test that because I've seen that makes, a huge difference. And sometimes it's the other way around. A lot of people I've seen, www normally works better, so we'll just use that. And typically it does have a higher conversion rate, I think because it has, more stuff to see. But sometimes, it converts better without the 3Ws. Sometimes, it doesn't. But a lot of times it's very dramatic. Like double. I mean, like that's huge. I mean, that's the difference between, you not having a campaign at all to you making a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something I test. But mostly, like I said, mostly focus on headlines. Focus on, which ad is the highest converting, which ad has the highest CTR, and then just trying to, marry the two. And definitely one thing always tests is your display URL. Even just like having a little slant at the end of it, a lot of times makes a difference.
This is when you're buying like Yahoo ads or Google AdWords or text ads.
Yeah. Some of them don't let you have the little slash at the end, but I don't want to make a blanket statement, but I found like a lot of times that the little slash at the end does improve your click-through rate, and keeps the conversion rate pretty steady. So, but just, you can really get into it. I mean, sometimes I test capitalization of various words of, making it look a little odd, because again, you're trying to catch people's attention. So if everything's uniform, if everything's like they expect it to be, then typically they can kind of glance over. But if you see, some lower cases, then this one word in the middle of the sentence is capitalized, sometimes that works too.
And this kind of testing of these fine points, does this generally take place after you've come up with a headline that's really working? You realize, hey, this thing really works. Now let's squeeze every bit of conversion I can out of it, or does it all happen at once? Or
No, that definitely happens. Yeah, once I have pretty much my winner ad, as far as the headline and the basic body copy. I mean, once I have done like all the big testing to determine that, then that's when I'll do like the little stuff, the little 3Ws and capitalization and stuff like that.
Gotcha. And all this becomes really important because of the volume of ad buys you're making, and as you pointed out, even a little edge can make the difference between losing and breaking even or being able to roll out something on a really, really large scale. I don't know if you've ever counted, but how many ads do you think you run through to ramp up a campaign from zero to actually a full-blown campaign that's working? How many different ad versions might you test? Have you ever thought about that?
It's quite a few.
Let's say some of you might think, well, I'll test five ads. That's a lot.
Oh no. Nah, it'd be more like 50.
Okay.
It's gonna be a lot. I mean, it's really easy to do though, pay per click. I mean, because you can, they automatically rotate the ads for you, so it's not. That's not really that hard. I mean, really the harder part to me is getting your landing page together. Really testing that and getting that that working, because you kind of have to assume that you have a decent converting landing page before you start tweaking ads really hard. So I think that's because there's so many more things to so many more variables with the landing page to test. So I think that's harder, and many times I'll go through 50 versions of the landing page. I mean, that's definitely
wow. And We I can't believe we've already run up to our time before we even got onto your traffic strategies, which are your traffic buying strategies, which are a whole other thing. But I think let's leave people with one important point, which is that landing page for you, the way you look at it, is sort of a conditioning device to sort of prepare the visitor, to take the ultimate action. In other words, you never send somebody straight to the full offer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The landing page, you know, it acts as a pre-sale, and you know, and some people, you know, do direct link to the offer for me, but I've found that probably 9 times out of 10 for me, which I don't even test the direct linking too much anymore. I mean, 9 times out of 10 for me, you know, the landing page will do better. But it's just like, you know, it's almost like a you know, like you're going out on a date or whatever. You know, you might hold hands first, you know, a little bit, you know, before you you know, just plan a kiss on her. You know, it's kind of like it's a little warm up, you know. So kind of get them acclimated, and like you said, just to pre-sell them, you know, on the actual offer. So that's you know, pretty much the function of landing page, and why it's, you know, and why it's so important, because a lot of times it's hard to take somebody just from an ad to the offer page, because the offer page normally has a big form on it, so complete this, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever the action is. So, you know, sometimes you got to kind of warm people up, you know, in between. And then sometimes, to be honest, the landing page is not really, you know, that good. I mean, but unfortunately, one of the downsides with affiliate marketing, you know, is that sometimes you're kind of stuck with what you got. So you kind of got to, you know, work with it. I mean, you know, now my stage, you know, I have, you know, better relationships and a little bit more clout, so I can kind of call them and say, look, this page is not going to work. You know, a lot of times they'll make changes and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of times you don't really, you know, have, you know, that kind of leeway. So your landing page, you know, sometimes has to make up for the fault of the actual offer page as well.
Gotcha. And again, whether a listener is in the CPA business or wants to go into it or is an affiliate marketer or wants to go into it, this information, this knowledge about how to work with internet traffic, you know, how to convert it, this applies to anything. If you're a dentist, if you're a shoemaker, if you're selling, you know, sailboats or, you know, golf cart, I don't know, whatever it is you're selling, this orientation to warming people up when they arrive, not just throwing them right into the sales process, is definitely useful information to have. And also the idea of realizing that you never know what approach is going to work best. So Greg is always testing lots and lots of different headlines. And then once he finds the basic approach that works, then he starts fine-tuning little seemingly inconsequential things that through experience, you know, the experience of millions and millions of page views tested and observed, he realizes some of these little, so-called little things can make a big difference. So, Greg, when you're in Chicago in April, we're going to be talking about a lot of the things on this call in greater depth. We're also going to be talking about traffic beyond Google. I think that's a call we could spend an hour on just by itself. In fact, we've got a call with I'll make sure we put it in this series. It was with our friend Mike Mindell from WordTracker, and you guys are both talking about alternate traffic sources to Google. This call, of course, was to alert everybody that System 2010 is coming up in Chicago, April 9th through 11th. Greg Davis will be one of our faculty members. We're also going to have Ben Boskell, who does things similar to Greg, but with a different orientation. Greg, you go more for the big, broad, mass appeal kind of offers, consumer offers, and Ben is more like he's focused on credit and financial services. And that's what he does, and he doesn't really stray from that. So we're going to have two approaches to buying traffic. We're also going to have Timothy Seward of ROI Revolution. And just like an affiliate manager or a network manager sees lots and lots of offers and lots of conversions, Timothy's business is to work with companies to actually manage their AdWords campaigns. So, you know, he has multiple clients that are spending 5 and 6 figures a month on AdWords, and he not only sees all that, he sees what works and what doesn't. So we're going to get his perspective on this sort of twin subject of buying traffic and converting traffic. Then we're going to have two, you know, just true superstar heavyweights from the world of direct marketing and copywriting from the UK, Drayton Bird, and, you know, I always tell people, just go to Amazon, type in Drayton Bird, look at all the books, get one of them, and you'll realize that, you know, we're dealing with one of the real greats in the industry. And then same thing with Bob Bly, who's written, I think, dozens of books at this point. Both of these guys have multi-decade experiences writing copy, running direct marketing campaigns. So again, it's the same theme over and over again. These are everybody on our faculty is somebody with lots of real world experience. No theories, no get rich quick schemes, no theoretical, you know, overviews, but just the actual down and dirty mechanics of how this business works. I'm very excited about having this faculty. It's one of the strongest, tightest faculties we've ever had. And we're going to have a lot of time. You know, we're going to have time for lots of questions and answers, lots of panels, lots of case studies, lots of hot seats. We're actually going to look at stuff and have our expert faculty comment on it. It's going to be, you know, like previous system seminars, but with more time to, as they say in music, to lay out, you know, to really get into it, as opposed to, you know, one speaker after another after another. That will be in Chicago, April 9th through 11th. And for more information, you can go to thesystemseminar.com, and you can read all about it there. And Greg, thanks so much. It's a really informative call. And I bet everybody, whether they were a beginner or an advanced person, got a lot from it.
Hey, no problem. You're very welcome. And just, you know, to reiterate, I mean, you know, I have a lot of, you know, traffic strategies and, you know, just ways to, you know, to work with you know, with media and buying, you know, huge chunks of traffic that, you know, that will apply to, you know, pretty much anybody's business, you know, not just in the CPA world, you know, but if you want, you know, everybody wants, you know, massive traffic, you know, converting traffic to their website. So I can definitely help you out with that.
Great. Well, thanks. And again, thanks for spending the time. And I know you got a lot on your plate there, as always. And we'll see you in April.
All right. Sounds good. See you.
Bye-bye.